This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday to you. Hey, guess what we're doing today? We're doing top five, bottom five, because the week is now over in the NFL. Last week, we had to wait till Thursday to do top five, bottom five, but they got it in. They got it in by Tuesday. Ravens beat the Cowboys yesterday 34-17. Dallas will now have a losing record for the first time since 2015. That's guaranteed. They're actually still in the running for the NFC East title because we don't know how the Giants or Washington might explode, but they're not because they're done. They're done. Their defense last night was so bad. I don't want to laugh at the Cowboys because I think it's serious. I mean, this is a team that you know, decided Jason Garrett was done. They gave Jason Garrett all the years that he could to try to do something with that. They couldn't do it. Finally, Jerry Jones probably went, oh, man, I got to cut this tie. I don't want to do it. Did it. Brought in Mike McCarthy. McCarthy brings his buddy Mike Nolan in, and this has been a mess. Injuries, but at the same time, the Ravens made it look easy. They ran the ball down the Cowboys' throat. By the way, you know, statistically, in the first half, Baltimore averaged 10 yards per carry, which is really hard to do in the NFL, and just it made it look easy. They did whatever they wanted to in this game against a Cowboys defense that doesn't know how to play. Right now, they don't know how to play. They don't know how to cover, and they can't stop anything. And this is where you're at with Dallas right now. It's a lost season, and it's more than just losing Dak Prescott. We always accept that with teams when they lose their star quarterback. We get it. It's the quarterback is the highest paid position in the league. It's the most important position in all of sports because it directly influences success and failure. You have a star quarterback. He's not easily replaceable or he wouldn't be a star quarterback. But the Cowboys' problems go so much deeper. And you know what the problem is for the Ravens in a win like this? Lamar Jackson was great, right? Threw two touchdowns, ran for a touchdown, ran for a 37-yard touchdown. You'd love to go, hey, the Ravens are back to being a real threat again. But you can't really make that assessment because the Cowboys looked so atrocious on defense. But they did look good. The Ravens did look good. We'll talk about that, plus what's going on with the Eagles as Jalen Hurts will now get the start at quarterback. Plus the College Football Playoff Committee rankings are out. And what about Ohio State? It's all coming up as we roll along on one Wednesday on Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. If you'd like to call the program, 800-224-2004. Tough night for the Cowboys. It's very strange because as we talked about it, so many times, I mean, it's like a broken record. The NFC East is up for grabs, right? All these teams are terrible, but the Giants and Washington are starting to turn their seasons around a bit. But everybody's got a losing record. Everybody's got some issues, but it's still up for grabs. And you can get it. You can take it. You can be in position with just a couple, as the Giants have shown, on a four-game win streak. You can change the fortune of your season rather quickly. You don't need to do like what Baltimore may have to do in the AFC North with the Steelers at 11-1 and the Browns at 9-3 and they're at 7-5. They're going to, you know, obviously need to win and get some help, et cetera, et cetera. But in the NFC East, it's wide open. And here's an opportunity for Dallas to get a win, stay on the heels of Washington and New York. The Giants schedule is going to get tougher. I think Washington's got a couple of games, but Dallas isn't capable of that. They're not capable of putting on a fight against a team like Baltimore. They just aren't. You could see last night how badly deficient on defense they were. And Andy Dalton had an okay game, but his turnover led to points, and they just can't stop anybody, and that's an issue. And so handicapping the NFC East race, you know, is it fair to say a Dallas team that's only two games out of the lead in the division is out of the race? Not really, because they're not showing you any reason to believe that they can win. Look, they were off for 11 days, 11 days, And two things, they weren't prepared for this, and they weren't healthy enough. And they just came off a shellacking by Washington on Thanksgiving Day. They were spiraling out of control. And as I said at the top, how do we evaluate the Ravens now? The running game, the quarterback play, everything against a team like Dallas that's just going to let you score.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can use this as a litmus test for how are the Ravens good or not.
Because are the Ravens back? Like, are the Ravens going to be a threat in the playoffs no matter what their record is? Are the Ravens, have the Ravens overcome some problems this season to be the Ravens we know and a threat in the postseason? I don't think you can make that assessment.
No,
this team was so bad defensively that the Baltimore did whatever it wanted.
Did the Ravens even take the ball, like run the ball outside?
I don't think so, because everything seemed to be up the middle to me.
They just ran right up the middle and averaging 10 yards carry.
And Miles Boykin's touchdown, he was wide open.
Yeah.
He's wide open. Frank Schwab wrote about this. He said, it's like Dallas just didn't want to cover him. It's not so much it was a blown coverage. It was like, it looked like,
oh, they're not going to throw to him.
No, they're not going to throw to him. Why would they throw to him? He's wide open. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And the sad thing is, like you said earlier, I mean, you know, they got blown out by Washington on Thanksgiving Day. They had 11 days
to figure this out.
To figure this out. To game plan just against the Ravens. And it was as if they left those notes back at the hotel or something.
Awful. I mean, Jackson ran for 94 yards in this game, including a 37-yard touchdown.
I think he walked.
I mean, jeez.
I don't think he ran 97. He pretty much walked 97 yards.
So, yeah. So, you know, look, if this was a team that was a couple of games out in any other division, that division was strong, you'd say, well, if they fix some things, they're still in the race. You can't say that about Dallas. Even if the division leaders are 5-7, this team's baked. They're finished. They're terrible. They are terrible. And I don't think it gets better. I don't think it gets easier. I don't think they fix it. I don't think they go back to the star and put it back together again. I think they're going to struggle the rest of the way and then wrap this thing up and call 2020 a year. And then hope they get Dak Prescott back next season healthy and make another run at this and figure out defensively what they're going to do. They're probably going to fire Mike Nolan because this is terrible. That was Mike McCarthy's hire. I mean, Mike McCarthy brought him in because Nolan brought McCarthy in to run the offense when Nolan was the head coach at San Francisco. So they're buddies. So this was a Mike McCarthy bring in my friend hire. And Jerry Jones is going to cut this tie. He's going to clip this as soon as this season's done.
It's unreal. It was, I mean, it was laughable.
It was laughable. It was laughable.
And there was one moment where you kind of felt like, oh, you know what? Okay, Cowboys can make a game of it.
Yeah.
You know, but you just had that feeling like, you know, they're just not going to be. I mean, what, Ezekiel Elliott had 3 carries first and goal from the 1 yard line?
Yes.
Could not punch it in.
Couldn't punch it in.
I mean, Zeke, come on. This is your bread and butter. Don't you need some money? Aren't you able just to walk in? And you can't.
So the Ravens again go to 7-5 with the win, and Dallas will have a losing record for the first time since 2015. Yay.
Yep.
Yay. All right. Jalen Hurts is going to get the start for the Eagles this weekend. They'll face New Orleans.
Why not?
Why not? And this creates a big problem for the Eagles because Carson Wentz is expensive. He's got a lot of money coming to him. And this isn't a simple way of getting rid of him if you want to get rid of him. But there's a couple of things about this. I mean, one, Wentz has had a weird career, hasn't he? I mean, just a bizarre career. Like, he's the number 2 overall pick. And he plays in 2016. He plays so good, right? Was it 17? 2017. He plays so well and then gets hurt. And then Foles just sort of does mop-up duty for the regular season. And then they go on that run and win the Super Bowl. Foles is the Super Bowl hero. Wentz, although got them to a position with all the wins he got in the regular season, is not really part of that Super Bowl run. And then he gets hurt again the next year. And now they go out and draft Jalen Hurts, and he's leading the league in interceptions, and he can't throw the ball, and he's got a terrible quarterback rating, and it all of a sudden looks like he's not the same guy that came into this league that earned himself the kind of contract extension that he got.
I know, so it makes you wonder, I mean, what is he suffering from, like, PTSD from Nick Foles taking him the rest of the way, or maybe it was, you know, from the broken leg, he's afraid to really step in and just, I don't know, be loose. Yeah. It's bizarre.
Like, we talk about Sam Bradford, right, being the number one overall pick and making the kind of money, but that was before all the economic reforms that they had with rookie deals. I mean, yeah. Bradford was the last beneficiary of this. Wentz earned himself this extension. Like, Wentz earned it by being, like, just with the eyeball test, he was good.
Which hasn't right? even and kicked pay in.
Right, which hasn't kicked in yet, right? And he was good. And he was good enough to earn this. There was nobody who thought this was a terrible, awful, what are the Eagles doing deal. Right? Wentz had shown he could play in the NFL. That's the first step in determining whether or not you're going to give a guy this kind of money. Right? Like I said, Bradford benefited by being the number one pick, and expectation earned him a lot of cash. But Wentz earned this by being, like, you draft a kid, and then you go, okay, we believe through all of our scouting that he can play at this level when the game is completely different from what he's used to, but we think he can adapt and be a player. So let's see it work. And it does. All of a sudden you realize, wow, he can. So he earns this. And then not only does he regress, he regresses to a point where he's a massive liability on the roster. Where now you're like, we can't play him. He's last in the league in passer rating. He leads the league in interceptions. He's atrocious. And so you go in with Jalen Hurts, and Hurts, look, is Hurts going to win some games? Probably not. But we know this. He's going to at least look better, given that he can move around when the terrible offensive line can't protect. He's going to be able to move around, maybe do something in that regard. So he's already got an edge at the position by having an element to his game that is going to allow him to be a little more productive. But now the Eagles, who aren't going to be able to find a trade partner for Wentz, are just going to have to hope he snaps out of this, because he's way too expensive. This is one of the things people are pointing out when you sign a quarterback. And look, I've said this for years and years. And so many people get on teams for signing your quarterback, right? Oh my God, he's not worth it. That's the market. The market is dictating that if you find your guy, you got to pay him. And you may have to overpay him, because it is so hard to find a quarterback that can play at a top level in this league, or any level in this league, right? It's really hard to find that person. So when you do have it, you have to overpay for the position. You have to. Right? I mean, Patrick Mahomes, right? What, $500 million, right? Or something crazy like that? That money is worth it, right? That money is worth it because he's good, he's a star, and even if he were to have struggling years, the struggling years are still going to be better than most quarterbacks in the league. That's where the money is worth it, is that when Mahomes has an off year under Mahomes standards, it's still better than 20 quarterbacks in the league. When Wentz has a bad year, you're 3-8-1, and you are not going to win your weak division, where a losing record might win it.
Isn't that amazing?
That's
too?
The difference.
We, at the beginning of the season, when the chips started falling, Saquon Barkley got hurt, even when after Dak Prescott got hurt, we sat there and we said, you know what? It's either going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys,
right,
that win this division.
That's right.
And now we're looking at it going, it's going to either be the Giants or the football team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And look, and go back to the Cowboys for a second. This is one of the reasons why the injury to Prescott hurts Prescott, because if you're Dallas, you do need to know, am I going to give Dak Prescott so much money? What if he's not the same quarterback coming back from this injury? Because look where the Eagles are. The Eagles can't just get rid of Wentz. They can't. It's too much. It destroys your team. It'll destroy your team for years and years and years. But playing him at quarterback destroys your team too. But so you end up with a very high-priced liability on your roster. The Cowboys have to do this sort of thought process on Prescott. Yes, is he our franchise guy? Yes. If he's healthy, he's the guy we want. He's the guy we want to sign. He's the guy we want in a Cowboys uniform for years. But if he comes back from this ankle injury and he's not the same, and there's something about his game that's off, it's going to be a very, very expensive mistake. And that's the risk you have in signing guys. And like you said, Wentz's deal hasn't kicked in yet. And it's extremely expensive. But what if Jalen Hurts lights the world on fire, beats the Saints? All of a sudden, you got a problem where you're just going to have to keep him. What are you going to do with Carson Wentz? I mean, at least when Bledsoe, when the Patriots were parting ways with Bledsoe, they were parting ways with a healthy, good enough quarterback that the Bills were willing to, you know, to take him. Like, he could get a job with somebody else. This is, who's going to pick up this extremely expensive deal? Nobody. Nobody. That's for sure. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up this hour as well. But coming up, the College Football Playoff Committee has announced its big, big, big decisions. But it was the same as last week. But the question remains about Ohio State, and we'll tackle that next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts because they know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by, talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so no change in the top four of the playoff committee rankings. There wasn't a big surprise. Clemson and Ohio State swapped spots. That was it. It's really all you had. But, interesting enough, Ohio State is not playing Michigan this weekend. Surprise, surprise. COVID-19 affecting the Wolverines program, so they're opting out of the game. So one of the greatest rivalries in all sports will be no more to this year in 2020. And that puts Ohio State in a real bind because they're 5-0 and you need six games, to get into the Big Ten championship game. And that obviously helps your resume when it comes to getting picked for the college football playoff. So it looks like the Big Ten is going to have a meeting to discuss whether or not they should just rescind that rule that they created at the beginning of the season, because what they were trying to do was they were trying to give incentive to teams not to just jump up and down on COVID and saying, look, we're going to protect our season and we got one or two outbreaks of COVID, we can't play. They wanted to make sure the teams followed the protocol so they could get the games in, right? They said, look, you need to play six games in order to compete for the championship. So it behooves you to be very stringent on your coronavirus protocols, making sure your players are protected, quarantined, you're doing the right testing, you're doing the right social distancing, all of those things. Because if you come at us with five games, you can't play. That's it. You can't play. You come up with us four games, no. Five games, no. You're not in the championship. We will not tolerate that. You must play six games. Unless you're Ohio State, yeah, and you have a chance to make us a lot of money.
That was in the fine print. You might not have read all the way through.
Yeah, you might not have seen it on the bottom of the contract. Unless you're Ohio State and you have a chance to make us a lot of money in the college football playoff, then we'll like rethink about it. This is embarrassing for the conference because the initial thought process on it was correct, right? You got to give these schools an incentive to do their due diligence on this virus. You have to make sure you say to them, hey, we're not joking around here. Like, really protect your kids. Really watch what they're doing. Make sure they're tested. Let's not screw this up. All right? But Ohio State's 5-0 is a chance to make the conference a boatload of money at a time where nobody's making a lot of money. And instead, the conference goes, yeah, about that. Can I make a point? Every single college football analyst had that problem for the Big Ten the second they knew about that rule. I can't believe the Big Ten sat in a room and did not think of this possibility for Ohio State. Remember what we talk about at the beginning of the season, and I say this every year, so next August, get ready for the speech again. How, because we've got the college football playoff committee rankings, how the AP and the coaches poll really don't matter anymore. The college football rankings, the playoff committee goes in November. They wait to see a whole bunch of games, and then they get their eyeball test out. They do go over the analytics, and they go over everything, and they determine the rankings. But they do it when people have played a number of games, enough to give them a sample size to work out. Those preseason AP polls, those preseason college football polls, coaches polls, those are all for marketing. And nothing says that better than what you've got here. Look. If Ohio State was Indiana, nobody would care. If Indiana was 5-0, we'd probably be like, yeah, but you're Indiana. I mean, you're really going to be in the Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama group here? No. Right? If it was Northwestern, we'd go, well, that's the breaks. Right? If it, I mean, Northwestern is ranked 14th at 5-1. Indiana's 12th at 6-1. Wisconsin, maybe. Michigan, maybe. Michigan State, maybe. But absolutely Ohio State came into this season with high expectations. Absolutely. Ohio State was the reason the Big Ten wanted to play football in the first place. They said no, everybody else was playing, and they went, oh, yeah, and we're losing a ton of money, but we do have the one saving grace for our conference, and that's Ohio State. They're projected to be in a top team in the country. They're projected to go unbeaten or at least one loss. They're projected to win our conference, which would put them in the playoff, and Lord knows we need the money. You mean to tell me at the beginning of the season when they were sitting down saying the 6-game rule to play for the conference championship, nobody said, oh, yeah, what about Ohio State? I know we like to think everybody's equal in this room, but they're not. What about the Buckeyes? Like, what happens if Ohio State were to only get 5 games in? And I'm sure somebody in that room went, well, not room, Zoom meeting. I should preface all of this. They did not get in a room in case you're all thinking they're spreading COVID. Somebody probably would have said, and oh, by the way, if I'm Michigan, why would I play them if I have a chance to keep them out of the championship game? Which, by the way, is exactly what happened. Of course, that scenario was brought up. And either two things occurred. Either the Big Ten said, doesn't matter. No. The principle of this is more important than winning a national title for the conference. The principle of what we're trying to do here is this: protect our student athletes, make sure everyone's tested, make sure there's some social distancing, wear masks to practice and workouts, do the Zoom meetings, nobody get together for unscheduled workouts, unsupervised workouts, un-COVID protected workouts. You guys are on your own protecting your own organizations, but if we start seeing games get canceled for COVID, you will not play for this championship.
So right now, I guess if you have the Big Ten championship today, it'll be Indiana versus Northwestern.
Yeah, that's a must-see TV game. Now, I'm sorry, Indiana. I know you're having a good season, but you lost Michael Penix at quarterback. I have really no interest in seeing you play for the title, for the Big Ten title. And Northwestern, I know you're having a good season, and I know you've had some really good seasons in the past.
But you're
Northwestern.
Where are you going to go?
I mean, no offense, but let's be honest here. I'm in the South. Right, I got my own game to worry about. I got a lot Florida, of people, Alabama.
There's probably a lot of people who don't know where Northwestern is.
That's true. I hope people do, though. It's a good school.
Yeah.
It's expensive school, but it's a good school. but this was something that so I don't know. It's like if you tell your kids, eat your dinner or you don't get dessert, and they don't eat their dinner and you go, give them dessert anyway, the kids are gonna realize none of your rules really stand up for anything. If you're a kid and you know your mom spent a whole day making the greatest cake in the world, like she measured out the ingredients, she went out and bought the really good flour and the really good frosting, and she made everything by scratch and just spent hours decorating it. If you're a kid and you got, you know, peas on your plate and you don't want to eat them, and your mother says, you know, you're not going to get a piece of that cake, you're not going to get dessert. As a kid, if you're smart, you'd go, Mom spent way too long making that cake to just have it sit there. She'll eventually give me the cake. That's exactly what's happening here. Ohio State, all of these teams knew, Ohio State's getting into the championship game. They'll just rescind this thing. They'll just get together and have a discussion. Like, there was no threat. Like, I bet you Ryan Day didn't lose 1 ounce of sleep over this. I bet he was like, you know what? They're not keeping us out of the title game. I'm going to tell you that right now. They ain't keeping us out of the title game. They are going to make sure we go to the Big Ten championship and get to that playoff. Every single athletic department is losing a fortune. You think they're going to give up Ohio State playoff money? You are out of your mind. So why have the rule in the first place, Big Ten? All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we roll along at Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What? idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is time for the Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, the Wednesday edition. We've reached the midweek portion of the week, and now the NFL is all done for week 13, looking into week 14, which starts tomorrow. All right, let's get the good of the day.
All right, well, I don't mean to highlight Ron Rivera here, because I know you might still be, you know, reeling a little bit from Monday.
Sure I am, yeah.
But we got to highlight Ron Rivera here.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I mean, we all know he's had a weird season.
Kicked
cancer's ass.
Kicked cancer, that's right.
But then we find out what he did, what helped him get through it. Because apparently, I never realized this, chemotherapy is really hard on eating.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I didn't know this. So now I'm really not looking forward to ever having cancer. Because he ended up losing 36 pounds.
Wow!
But in order for him to eat, because I guess when chemo was really hard for him to swallow and he had no taste at all, he consisted on a diet of Mountain Dew, root beer, and Taco Bell.
If you're Taco Bell, you got to give him Taco Bell for life, right?
You do. I mean, he just highlighted. He said, funny enough, he had trouble swallowing. So he said, you know, like he would start the morning off with pancakes and try to help bring back some of the weight. But he said then he would have what amounted to like 2 cups of syrup for those pancakes.
Oh, my God.
Just to kind of water him down so that way he can swallow it. He hated the taste of water, so that's why he went to Mountain Dew and root beer. That was, you know, I guess his go-to drinks.
Sure.
And he said, but funny enough, Taco Bell tacos went down easily.
Oh, my God. If you know, there's got to be some sort of corporate card you can get where you're like, I'm an elite Taco Bell.
Chick-fil-A has it.
Yeah. I thought McDonald's did, too. Like, McDonald's had a gold card. It was like very, very few people got one, but it gave you meals forever.
Yeah.
You'd eat for free for the rest of your life. But Taco Bell's got to have one of those. Give it to Ron Rivera.
Yes.
Say, look, Ron, whether you eat Taco Bell or not for the rest of your life, we hope you do, but we want to honor you. We're glad we were able to help you get some weight back and recover from chemo and you're getting your appetite back and get some calories in you.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, that's, I love it.
I love, that's great.
Fantastic. I think I could do that.
As much as I hate the fact that Washington beat Pittsburgh, I'm a big Ron Rivera fan.
You can't help it.
I'm very happy.
I mean, when you look at the team itself, the storylines just from the team, just from this year, I mean, how can you not like the Washington football team besides the name?
And I think they're ticking upwards. I think Logan Thomas is playing great. They pointed it out in the broadcast how much better he's getting. Chase Young is going to start to do some good things. I mean, Alex Smith looks decent enough, and he's probably not the quarterback of the future. But
no,
you know,
of course not. He's not.
But you know, Antonio Gibson has had some really good games. I mean, look. I mean, it's a brick by brick, but I think they're building into something down the road in a couple years.
Right? I think this is something. I mean, obviously, Alex Smith isn't the future.
Yeah,
they got to address that problem some way, somehow. But this is, I mean, the core of this team, there's something to build off of here.
There really is. And you've got the right guy at the helm. I mean, you can make the case about Jay Gruden and all, you know, the mistakes he's made while he was there for a long period of time. But they've got the right guy. Ron Rivera is a good coach, and he can coach in this league. You just give them a little patience, and I think they're building something.
Just don't let Dan Snyder get in the way.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Exactly.
That's really what it comes down to.
That's right. Real quick, I hope they do find a nickname. I don't like this Washington football team thing. I'm not a fan of it. Yeah. I know some people are. I don't like it. I think find a nickname that works for you and go forward.
I do like the uniforms and helmets. I love the helmets.
Yes. Me too.
Want to throw a mascot on the helmet, that's fine. I love the numbers.
I do too. I like that old school look. It's pretty cool. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is Michael Jordan's golf course.
What's it? X23 or something?
Well,
what's it called?
No, it's what is?
Double X 23.
Actually, it's just 23.
Yeah, yeah. It's but a there's, really but there's elite name to it. Course.
Well, only you only. I think it's almost Augusta-like.
Yeah, it's very,
you have to
very
be invited
limited.
To play.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson's a member.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he?
Well, you say that like that you're shocked.
I know.
No, actually, it's called the Grove 23.
The Grove 23, okay.
Or XXIII. So, you know.
That's where I was getting the X's. It was Roman numerals for
so
his 23.
It's either,
right.
Hopefully you know your Super Bowl numbers.
Right.
But the reason why it's in the bad of the day, they replaced the beer cart with drones.
Did they really?
So drones are going to be coming down. They're dropping off your booze and your food via drone instead of, you know, the cute beer cart girl, you know, giving them something to do instead of the beer cart coming around. I don't know. I mean, when I go golfing, I love seeing the beer cart off in the distance and like, yep, I got to go find my wallet.
I know. Me too.
Let me just shake this shot real quick.
I'm
going to go get my wallet.
The local course I played that's a couple miles from my house does not have a beer cart girl, a cart girl, and we have begged them to get one. Like, the people who play there a lot keep saying to management, can you please, at least in the summertime, you want to do it in the spring, you don't want to do it in the fall, that's fine, but at least when it's 1,000 degrees outside, can you please send somebody out there with some cold beverages?
Yeah.
I mean, for the love of Pete. Yeah, no, you're right. And they're nice, and they're usually working in college and whatnot. You give them some money. And
not only that, but maybe it's just me, but how soon until somebody tries to take aim at these drones?
Yeah, I know. Right.
Because when you're at a driving range and you see the little guy out there scooping up all the golf balls, don't you change your method of hitting?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And you aim for the guy in the cart.
Drones, are the drones answers for everything now? It's like everybody wants to use a drone. And my thing is, I look at the logistics of it and I go, I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, maybe in this case, it's a golf course, is limited. Like, but when they talked about like Amazon dropping off packages, I'm like, you're just asking for trouble. What are you talking about? Putting a drone, some teenager's house, like he's just going to grab the drone. And
But you know what I'm afraid of is, you know, I mean, okay. Are you sure that it's strapped in there when you're delivering that Ming vase to me?
Right, exactly. And it's flying over the highway. So I'm sitting in my traffic, and all of a sudden a drone from Amazon's dropping some package on the roof of my car.
Yeah.
Right, or something like that. No, you're right. And the same thing here. Do I want my – like, let's say I'm not a beer drinker. Let's say I want a Coke. Like, is it not going to shake by the time I get it from a drone flight?
What's worse? You know, is it worth shaking and then you having to open it, or all of a sudden it just kind of slipped out of the hook?
Right.
Or the claw, or however it's being delivered, and it falls, it plummets down to the ground about 100, 200 feet. That thing's going to go off like a missile.
But you made a really good point. Yeah, you made a really good point about the cart girl. I mean, think about the women who would have been employed at an elite, rich, very wealthy country club. Like, seriously.
You can pay them below minimum wage and they won't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you think Phil is not going to give her $100? He tips everybody. He gives everybody $100.
I know.
Right? Phil Mickelson alone is worth getting that job. You're like, I made $700 today because Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson each gave me $1,000 or, you know, whatever it is, a couple $100 apiece.
Yeah, I just split my tips, but it's okay. Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's great.
I know.
So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is pretty much 2020 in a nutshell.
Okay.
Joe Exotic.
We back to him again?
We're back to him again.
Well, we started the year with, started this pandemic with Joe Exotic.
Yeah, we got to finish it up with him. Joe Exotic has asked Kim Kardashian to help him get a presidential pardon.
Well, apparently Kim Kardashian has done this before, right?
She has. She has some experience.
She has some experience with this. So he's at least, that's not a terrible idea, but it probably isn't going to work.
No. I mean, he wrote a letter. I mean, the problem was in the letter, he says, you know, nobody has to know. But now the letter's out there, so we're all going to talk about it. Like, Joe, now we know.
Remember we talked about this during the whole Lion King phase? What was it called? Tiger King. We kind of think he did this, right? Like, we don't think he got railroaded.
No.
Like, we don't think he's, like, in prison for something he did. Like, he's innocent of these charges.
No, he's serving 20. He's into a year already in his 22-year sentence for a murder for hire on Carol Baskin.
We kind of saw the evidence and went, yeah, you did it.
Yeah. There's no ways around it. But
there's nobody in his court. Like, nobody's in his camp. Like, the people that worked with him, like, yeah, of course he did.
Okay, well, I mean, some people are on his camp because for whatever reason, I mean, he's working really hard to petition Donald Trump for a presidential pardon because it's probably the only way he's going to get one.
Yeah, it's true.
But so, I mean, to great lengths, too, because he's already spent like $10,000 in a Trump hotel in Washington.
What a great way for Trump to leave office. Like, the last thing he does. And Joe Exotic's free. Bye, America.
Stamp.
Good luck. There you go. Enjoy. Here's my present to you. Here's the Tiger King is loose.
He's not a detriment to society.
Enjoy it. my present to America.
The headline says it all. I mean, Joe Exotic, Kim Kardashian, 2020, presidential pardons. I mean, that's wrapped up in a nutshell right there.
So amazing. That is so amazing. I mean, Joe Exotic. I will not deny my enjoyment of every second I watched that documentary. But then afterwards, I was like, that's enough. I'm done with this crazy group of people.
We've had to take a couple showers to
Exactly.
rinse that filth off of us.
Everyone's temperature varies throughout the day, so it's important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever is a sign of COVID-19. Stay safe with the Exergen temporal scanner. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we continue along, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, so there was this weird story. I don't know if you saw this, because it kind of felt like it kind of came in and left. That UNLV quarterback Max Gilliam?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Yes.
So he was on this reality show, Below Deck. Now, I didn't know about this reality show, so I had to kind of look it up. It's a show where you work on a yacht.
Right.
Right? So he apparently was working on a yacht. I don't know if in the off season, but at some point when they filmed this. And he ate sushi off a nude model.
Yeah.
Okay, which is apparently a thing. And now he's apologized for this because he was on the show doing this. And he's apologized.
A reprimand from UNLV?
Yeah. I guess UNLV was not so happy with this, him eating sushi off a nude model.
Right.
Which,
go ahead, because I think we're on the same page.
I didn't know this was a thing. Like, I know where we're going to go later, but is this something people do? Is this a thing? Or is this just for the show?
I think I've seen it before. Where it was almost done like as an art exhibit in New York City or something like that.
Because the article doesn't say like he ate sushi off a nude model as part of a challenge for the show or something, right? Like they just throw it out there like this is how you eat sushi in rich yachts. Like, you hire a model, there's sushi on her, she's naked, and you eat the sushi. Like that doesn't make, I don't know. Never mind. This may be way out of my element because I don't get to live that sort of below deck lifestyle. You know,
curious.
I know. I'm curious, but I don't know. But why is he apologizing for this?
Right. Like, what did he do wrong?
What did he do wrong? Like, somebody tell me what he did wrong.
I mean, if the girl was
right, it's consensual, right? Like, yeah, she paid money to do this.
I mean, she wasn't strapped to the table. She wasn't bound and gagged. She's just laying there. If she didn't want to do it, if she felt uncomfortable, she could have gotten up and left.
And if this is a thing that if this is a thing that, I don't know, then what is he apologizing for?
Yeah.
Like, he should have said, look, was he not supposed to be on the TV show? Because I'm sure he cleared that with compliance about being on the TV show. Now, are they more mad that he ate the sushi off the model, or are they mad that he was on the show?
Here's who he has to apologize to. Maybe his mom.
Maybe,
You know, just because mom might be embarrassed because that's her baby boy. You know, maybe. You know, high-fiving dad. That's
I
obvious.
I told you not to eat sushi off a model.
If he has a significant other, maybe you got to apologize to her.
Maybe so her. Yeah, maybe that.
And that's the big one. But obviously, that may not be a serious relationship. So who cares?
I just don't. Like, I don't understand. I didn't understand what, again.
It's the cancel culture.
Yeah, it is.
He's not allowed to have any fun. We expect all these kids. I guess if you're an athlete representing the school, you just go. You play football. You study 8 hours a day, and then you go to sleep. That's it.
He said, this is not a reflection of my character or the way I was raised, nor a reflection of the culture of UNLV football.
Who's getting mad at him, by the way?
Who is telling him to say these things?
Because I'll be 100% honest with you. If I'm, let's venture a guess. He's probably 20, 21, 22, yeah. Maybe.
He's a senior, so he's probably maybe 22.
Yeah. I'm that age and I'm single. I'm eating sushi off a nude model.
Sure.
I'm sorry. That's what
especially if I'm on a television show and the producers are saying this is what we're doing. Like, I didn't see the clip of the show. I don't know the show. I don't know what the show is about. But if there was a model and she was naked and there was sushi and you ate sushi off of her stomach or so whatever it was and that's what the show context was,
is he going in like he's bobbing for apples where his arms are tied behind
right,
his back?
Exactly.
No, he's probably using chopsticks. Maybe she has a little wasabi near the belly button. You just dip it in there and
exactly
you're
Michael on Twitter, if eating sushi off a nude model is not a thing, it is now. I know. How many people are like, well, where do I go for the nude model sushi buffet?
Well, it was all, they had it at the Fyre Festival, but it was those sandwiches.
It was those cheese sandwiches. Seriously. Seriously, this is, I mean, listen, I'm willing to admit I'm getting a little up there in age. I get a little naive at times. I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah, I don't see any, I can't see a man being upset with this.
No, not at all.
Except maybe in the jealousy department.
Maybe so. That's got to be
it. That's the only, that'd be fueling the fire. It's like, well, I want that.
I love the way he goes, this is not a reflection of UNLV football. If he was like, if he was going to Notre Dame, maybe.
No.
like UNLV football.
UNLV football, they're probably worse.
I lived in Vegas for 3 years. I know what's on the billboards around that town. You got to be kidding. That's great.
Not to say the half the female student population is working at night.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And when I saw the headline of this, I thought it was at a Vegas club. Like, I thought he was at a club in Vegas. When I read it, I went, oh, he was on a reality show. God bless him.
And somewhere in the Caribbean.
In the Caribbean.
I think. I'm not sure.
Below Deck is the TV show, so there you go.
Check it out.
Top 5, bottom 5 next hour. Plus, we'll talk to Jared Dubin at CBS Sports on the NFL. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.